Hello, everybody. This is the translation of Lucy's message for Sunday, the 24th of November. Good morning. Today we are going to read a passage in the 17th chapter of the Gospel of Luke, verses 11 to 19. Now, on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus travelled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." When he saw them, he said, "Go, show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." Here is the story of a stage of a journey. Verse 11, during his journey. Does this chapter say more about this journey? No. If you go through the whole of chapter 17, you will find lots of short teachings, excerpts from conversations with Jesus. Among other things, we read that we must rebuke the brother who sins and forgive him if he changes his behaviour, even if he sins again 7 times in a day and repents. The request of the apostles, increase our faith. The expression of unworthy servants for the one who has done everything that he was told to do. A question from the Pharisees, when will the kingdom of God come? Jesus' announcement that he will have to suffer. It is also a question of the return of Jesus and the fact that many will not be ready for him. So in the middle of this chapter of 37 verses, a stage of a journey. With a miracle. Luke does not give many details, but the few details that are there are all important. Jesus comes from Ephraim in the north in Galilee, and he is heading towards Jerusalem. Which way? During his journey toward Jerusalem, he passed between Samaria and Galilee. By passing between Samaria and Galilee, one would say, by passing along the boundary line between these two divisions or regions of the country. With this particularity that the Samaritans were not quite like the Galileans and the Judeans. Part of the Jewish population of Samaria had been deported by the Assyrians around 721 BC, and sometime later, around 677, another Assyrian king imported Babylonians and others into the cities of Samaria, who mixed with the Jews who had remained there, with the consequence, on the religious level, of a mixture of pagan and Jewish practices, a form of syncretism for which the Jews of Galilee and Judea hated these Samaritans. In other places in the Gospels, we also find indications that relations between Jews and Samaritans were somewhat tense, discriminatory. The Jews consider them inferior, not as good as them. And yet they are on Jesus' path, the Samaritan woman at the well, the good Samaritan, and here the grateful Samaritan. Jesus has undertaken his last journey to Jerusalem where he will die. Passing through a certain village, 10 lepers come to meet Jesus while keeping a good distance, as the law of Moses had prescribed them. Lepers were considered unclean, had to stay away from the others, but since man is not made to live alone all the time, the lepers grouped together to break this imposed social distancing. Here there are 10 of them. They come to meet Jesus and his disciples. It would seem that his passage was already announced in the village, and that word of mouth, communication, had worked well. Before he arrived in this village, the villagers already knew that Jesus was in the area and that probably, following the route suggested by the GPS or Waze, he would pass through this village. The 10 lepers approach Jesus as much as they can, but they keep the right distance. As proof, they raise their voices, they cry out to him. But what was their cry? Not the usual, "Unclean, unclean," that one would normally hear, but rather, "Jesus, Master, have compassion on us." Jesus, they know his name, that's clear. His fame precedes him. They also call him Master, although they have probably never met him. But when you want to get something from someone, you address him appropriately. Here they call him Master. But it is not the same word that was used most of the time by the disciples. They said Kurios, Lord, or Didaskalos, teacher in Greek, or Rabbi, Rabuni, teacher in Hebrew. The word master here simply indicates someone higher up than the one who addresses him. Higher up, more important. Why? Because he heals people? He is not their teacher, he is not their master in the sense that they would be his followers, but he is someone who has something that they need. Master, what is their request? Have compassion on us. This word is very little present in our current vocabulary. We could translate it as, show your empathy for us through actions, do something for us. In short, they asked to be healed because physical healing would also mean social healing. They could once again integrate society, their family, their workplace, etc. Make our life as it was before. As it was before I was declared a leper. What was Jesus' response? When he saw them, he said to them, go and show yourselves to the priests. If you had been in their place, a leper, sick, what would have been your reaction to this order? Go and show yourself to the priests. For my part, it would have been, as long as I am not healed, there is no point in setting out to see the priests. But these 10 lepers seem to have greater faith than mine. They go there even though their skin is still in the same condition. Except that along the way they realize that their skin has changed, has become healthy. This reminds me of the story of Naaman. Too bad the children are not with us. They certainly know this story from the second book of Kings. Naaman was a high-ranking officer in the Syrian army. But unfortunately, he was also a leper. His wife had taken into her service a young Israelite girl whom the Syrians had captured during their military excursions. This girl will speak of the prophet Elisha, and Naaman will undertake the journey from Syria to Samaria to meet the prophet there. The latter does not even deign to leave his house. He simply gives, through his servants, the order to Naaman to go and immerse himself 7 times in the waters of the Jordan. 2 Kings chapter 5 verse 11. But Naaman went away angry and said, I thought that he would surely come out to meet me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, wave his hand over the spot and cure me of my leprosy. And I understand Naaman's reaction. He didn't get what he wanted from the prophet, and worse, the prophet didn't even come out to meet him. Frankly, God's servants aren't always very nice. They don't always take good care of people, right? But Naaman's servants are going to convince their master to do what the prophet said anyway, and Naaman, by obeying, was healed. Here in the Gospel of Luke, the 10 lepers, I don't know if they knew Naaman's story, they set out and do what Jesus said without asking any more questions. By obeying, and while they were going to the priest, they were all healed. To fully understand what happens to them, it is important to know a little more about leprosy. its consequences, and the rules of society at that time regarding those who had caught this disease. Have you ever met a person with leprosy? Unless you have stayed abroad, I don't think that would be the case. The cases recorded in France are all people from other continents. Today, we no longer talk about leprosy, but about Hansen's disease, a Norwegian researcher who discovered it at the end of the 19th century. The disease comes from a bacterium and can be transmitted by droplets, a bit like what we experience with COVID, except that this disease has a long incubation period and carriers can therefore transmit it even though they themselves have no symptoms and are unaware that they have it. Today there is a treatment, a tripartite one. In the Old Testament era, this was not the case, and leprosy was the word used for several diseases of human skin, certainly, but also for mold spots on fabrics, clothing, or even in homes. Disease on people was often considered a divine punishment and not just a disease. Think of the story of Miriam, sister of Aaron and Moses, who was struck with leprosy because she dared to criticize Moses. The disease was recognized by changes on the skin, white spots, scabs, pustules, etc. The person who noticed this on his skin had to let himself be examined by the priests, who declared whether or not it was leprosy. In the case of leprosy, the person was considered impure and had to live in isolation, no longer in contact with healthy people. His family, his friends, the other people with whom he frequented the temple. The only contact he was allowed was with other people identified as lepers. He also had to tear his clothes, not cover his head, just his beard. Not a very pretty sight. In addition, he had to announce himself from afar by shouting, "Impure, impure." No more family life, work, friends, banished from home, banished from society. No more being able to earn a living. The body becomes ugly, pustules on the face, deformed limbs, and if it lasts, who would want to see these people again? Added to the illness is exclusion and the suspicion of a curse. It is only by presenting themselves again before the priest that they could declare the person pure again, so that they can return to their home, their family, their village, their job, etc. And our 10 lepers along the way notice that their spots, pustules, etc. had disappeared. Maybe they said hallelujah. They notice that the illness has disappeared, and then this means that the priest will declare them clean. But there is a whole procedure for this. It is not done in 3 seconds. In the book of Leviticus, there is mention of a period of 7 days and of the sacrifices to be offered. So here are 10 lepers on their way, together, towards the priests. Jesus did not touch them. He simply gave them an order. Go show yourselves to the priests. And they set off, with or without doubts. When they see that they are healed, 9 continue on their way. But the 10th, the Samaritan, will disobey Jesus by turning around immediately when he sees his healing. He did not go as far as the priests. The others, yes. The healing for them was only there at the moment when the priest declared them healed. And perhaps they too had the intention of going to thank Jesus. But 7 days later, where would Jesus be? Would they still have found him? They were grateful, no doubt, but they didn't have time to let their gratitude show right then and there. Don't get me wrong. Lepers have been waiting for weeks, months, years for a cure. They often said to themselves in their heads, if I ever get cured, the first thing I'll do is. They'll be too busy getting back to their loved ones, their wives, their children, a real family meal, a real bed, with all the comforts of a real family home. Oh yes, they are super grateful. They intended, I hope, to go and thank Jesus, but later, you understand. And then, after the reunion with family, with friends, a good meal, a good night's rest, the next day the desire to start working again, and time passes, and we forget to go and thank Jesus. How would we have reacted in their place after all? The Samaritan decided to do what was most urgent to do, turn around. In a way, he proclaims himself healed and returns to Jesus. And how? Before he had to announce himself to the other people by shouting, "Unclean, unclean." Here he advances through the crowd, glorifying God at the top of his voice. One of them, seeing that he was healed, turned back, glorifying God at the top of his voice. And when he came to Jesus, he threw himself at his feet to give him thanks. He fell face down at Jesus' feet and gave him thanks. He was a Samaritan. If I had been a Pharisee present at the time, I would have said, "What nerve! He disobeyed Jesus, the law. He didn't go and show himself to the priests. And he dares to come among us to prostrate himself before Jesus, whom he disobeyed." If I had been a Pharisee, I would have shaken my head. "No, it's not possible to act like that. He doesn't understand anything." If I had been a Pharisee, I wouldn't be empathetic. I only see what he's doing wrong, contrary to the law, to customs. But this tenth man is a Samaritan. The rules of the Orthodox Jews are secondary to him. What matters is that he was sick and he's not any more. And it's not thanks to the priests, so they are not a priority in his conception of things. Jesus is a priority. He is the one who did something for me. I want to thank him, and too bad if I don't follow the rules of decency, the cultural rules. And what was Jesus' answer? Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? And the other 9, where are they? Was only this foreigner found to return to give glory to God?" In view of this text, Jesus seemed to expect to see the 10 healed lepers return. Where were they healed? No one knows. 500 meters after they left Jesus? 5 kilometers later? Or 500 meters before arriving at the priests? But Jesus would have found it normal for the 10 to return, while he ordered them to go to see the priests. And given the procedure described in Leviticus, they could not return immediately after seeing the priests. It would have taken them more than 7 days with sacrifices and purification rites. Perhaps Jesus was testing them. What would be more important to you? To be healed by Jesus or to be recognized as healed by the religious of the time? Could this be a test? I wanted to see what the other evangelists, Matthew, Mark, and John, said about it. Nothing. They do not even mention this event with the 10 lepers. So we are left with the question, why did only one come back? Too easy to say that the others were not grateful when they were simply obedient. We can more easily find a reason why the Samaritan turned back. After all, he was a Samaritan and was not subject to the same obligations of purification from leprosy. He was not supposed to go to the priests. But then, why did he set out with the other 9? Out of obedience to Jesus, after all, he had addressed him as Master. What could be more logical than to do what the Master orders you? As for the other 9, we don't know exactly what was going on inside them. But the Samaritan, he externalized his joy and his gratitude. He came back glorifying God. He threw himself at Jesus' feet to give him thanks. And Jesus, what did he answer? "Get up and go. Your faith has saved you." The other 9 received physical healing. The miracle took place. But the 10th man, the Samaritan, also received spiritual healing. The 10 believed that Jesus was going to heal them. They all had faith. Only one had the faith that saves, the faith that recognizes who Jesus is. The Samaritan returns praising God, then throws himself on the ground before Jesus and gives him thanks. He said to himself, "This man is not an ordinary man, not even a master. Jesus did what only God can do. Jesus is the Son of God." The Samaritan understood this. The other 9 remained in their legalistic religious behavior. Will they be saved? That is not for me to know. What I do know is that one can have faith, experience a miracle, be grateful, but continue one's life without expressing one's gratitude, without recognizing Jesus as the Son of God, as Lord, and thus miss out on complete salvation. The Samaritan turns around. That is the faith that saves, the faith that changes course. 10 people benefited from God's compassion. One alone expresses his gratitude. And he did well because there is a risk in not expressing gratitude. Paul describes it in Romans chapter 1 verse 21. For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him. But their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. Not glorifying God, not giving thanks, that is precisely how the epistle to the Romans defines sin. Just read the rest of this first chapter. Our 9 Jews literally went with the laws, the customs. And if we do not react immediately, forgetfulness takes over and the deliverance experienced becomes a vague memory somewhere in my past, so distant that the light of day no longer reaches it. I ignore it. I do not glorify God. Let's read these 2 verses from Psalm 50 again. Verses 22 and 23. Consider this, you who forget God, or I will tear you to pieces with no one to rescue you. Those who sacrifice thank offerings honour me, and to the blameless I will show my salvation. This psalm, which begins with verse 1, the mighty one, God, the Lord, speaks and summons the earth. God has spoken. Let us learn to listen to him, as Joel reminded us again last Sunday. Listen and not ignore God, but honour him by offering our gratitude, whether it be by our mouth, by our gifts, by our service, or by our actions. Did you know that every year on the 4th Thursday of November, Americans have a holiday and they celebrate Thanksgiving? The word means actions of grace. In France, we have a celebration every year on the 3rd Thursday of November. Do you know which one? The release of Beaujolais Nouveau. That was 3 days ago. Did you celebrate it? Did you taste it? The Americans, the 4th Thursday, commemorates the autumn of 1621. In 1620, a group of people, dissidents of the church in the United Kingdom, embark on the ship called the Mayflower towards the New World, America. These Pilgrim Fathers will form the colony of Plymouth in Massachusetts, and the following fall they bring in their first harvests of produce of the earth, which will ensure the survival of their colony, and they organize a big celebration in honor of God to offer him their gratitude. Since 1621, despite some periods when they forgot it, and after some presidents who kept the day as a holiday, every year on the 4th Thursday of November, Americans celebrate Thanksgiving with family meals and, in principle, I hope also prayers of gratitude for all that God has done in their lives in recent times. So this week, you would not have a holiday to celebrate Thanksgiving. But I hope that today's message has reminded you of the importance of not only being grateful to God, to the Lord Jesus, but also the importance of expressing it. Let us not be like the 9 Jews in the Gospel text read today, but rather like the Good Samaritan who honoured the Lord by expressing his gratitude. I suggest you do it with this simple song that says, "Thank you, Lord." Amen.